Praise the Lord. You cannot get too much of God. God is awesome. Amen. I'm addicted to Jesus. Amen. Addicted to Jesus. Hopeless addict. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, would you like to be an addict? Addicted to Jesus, amen? Jesus said, one thing is needful. One thing is needful, just one. The reason why Martha was troubled about many things in her life, because she didn't do the one thing her sister Mary did. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Jesus, do you really believe what Jesus said? One thing is needful. Only one thing in life is needful. We think there are so many things. He says, one thing is needful. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. That's the one thing that's needful every single day. Do the one thing and God will do everything for you. And this evening you have come to do that one thing, to sit at Jesus' feet and to hear his word. Amen. You are doing that one thing needful. People who don't do that one thing are troubled about many things. They worry about many things. Do the one thing and God will take care of everything. The one thing is to let Jesus love you. Sit at his feet, receive his word. Sit at his feet, receive his word. Every day. Praise the Lord. Now, this evening, I'd like to share with you about spiritual warfare. All right? Ever so often, we touch on spiritual warfare because it's a vital part of our Christian walk with God. You know, when you see something happening that is out of the ordinary and it's happening in the same area and you've tried everything in the natural, it is still attacking you in the same area. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that you are being attacked. All right? There is a war that is invisible. You cannot see. Once you are a believer, you have an arch enemy. Now, before you are a believer, he was your enemy. All right? Don't you think for one moment that Satan is the enemy of all Christians only? He's the enemy of every man, every woman. Because whether you're a Christian or not, he hates you. You are made in God's image. You know, when God made you in his image. Amen? You know, like a woman who has been rejected by the boyfriend. She has his photograph. Look at the photograph. There's a lot of holes down there. Psycho. You know, because she cannot get the boyfriend, she gets the picture. So the devil is the same. Can't get at God. God is too powerful for him. He tried to get at God's image. The difference is this. If you're not safe, the devil has your number anytime. In fact, you are under his power. But once you are safe, all right? There is an attack. There's a war going on. But praise be to God, God tells us how to have the victory. Can I have a good amen? You know, the Bible doesn't teach us to cope. The Bible teaches us to have victory. The world teaches you to cope. Cope with depression. Cope with sickness. The Bible says, have victory over. That's the difference. Amen? Another difference is this. Once you believe on Christ, you have everything. You have everything in Christ. Everything. The Bible says so. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed, past tense, ED, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There is a beautiful story. You know, the world can boast. They have a lot. They say, I'm very wealthy. I have a lot. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my bank account. They can boast of having a lot. It reminds me of a story of the twin brothers in Genesis. We have Jacob and Esau. And the story of how Jacob took Esau's blessing right from the dead. And Esau was very bitter and hateful towards the brother. They separated for many years. And finally they met one another. By this time they have children of their own. And Jacob was afraid of his twin brother Esau, because Esau still had that, you know, vengeance in his heart. He thought, at least. But God has melted Esau's heart by then. But nonetheless, Jacob sent some presents, you know, goats and lambs ahead of him to appease his brother. His brother saw everything. He says, what is this? He says that, you don't have to do all this. This is my God. Esau says, God has blessed me. And I have a lot. He used the Hebrew word a lot. Rav in Hebrew. I have a lot. And then Jacob answered, no, my brother, all this is for you. God has also blessed me. I have everything. He used the word call. I have everything. Now the world can boast. They have a lot. You, child of God, have everything. Amen. You have Jesus. You have everything. Amen. You know, it's possible to live in a big house with many rooms and not even able to sleep in one bedroom properly. You're so full of depression. You're so full of restlessness, anxieties, depression. You can have a lot and be miserable. But in Christ, you have everything. Can I have a good amen? Not only you receive everything, you also receive animosity in a special way from the devil. Welcome to spiritual warfare. All right? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Look at verse 10 again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Now, in this battle against the devil, first and foremost, do you know there is a devil? There are some Christians who don't believe in a real personal devil. You know, there are some circles, in Christian circles, they don't believe the devil exists. There are some Christians who don't believe the devil is a real devil. They say that, oh, that's just poetic imagery in the Bible. So there's one extreme. They don't believe there is a devil. And there's another extreme, unfortunately, among us charismatics. There's a group of charismatics that believe almost like the devil can do anything and everything. They believe in the devil, but they believe in the devil so much to the point that the devil is active all the time in their life. In fact, let me just tell you this. The devil does not have the same attributes that they claim that the devil has with God. You know, God is omniscient, all-knowing. The devil is not. He does not even know whether Jesus would gain victory through the cross. In fact, the devil schemed to put Jesus at the cross. The Bible says, had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it turned out to be his own defeat, right? So it shows the devil does not know everything. The devil cannot read your mind. He cannot read your mind. He does not know until you open your wonderful mouth and tell him that you are fearful. All right, he only can tell by what comes out of your mouth. Can I have a good amen? The devil is not omnipotent. He is not all-powerful. You see, you are here this evening. You know the devil does not want you to come to hear God's word. There's no way he wants you to do that one thing needful. He hates you hearing God's word because God's word spells defeat for him. Can he stop you from coming this evening? Look, you are here. Congratulations. If the devil is all-powerful as some Christians make him out to be, he will stop you from coming to church. In fact, he will stop you from receiving Christ. The very fact that you do not stop from receiving Christ shows the devil is not all-powerful as some Christians make him out to be. If he's all-powerful, he can just go out and kill you immediately. No, the Bible says he has to seek whom he may devour. The Bible says he's a liar. And why lie when you have the power? People lie because they don't have the power. They have to give an image or a lie that they have the power. So the devil has been defeated. Can I have a good amen? Another thing is this. The devil is not omnipresent. God is. That means the devil is not everywhere all the time. All right, you might say, well, last night, Pastor Prince, I had a terrible attack from Satan. Now, honestly, it was not Satan. Don't flatter yourself. All right? He's out probably picking up people like Billy Graham. When Jesus was on earth, it was Satan himself personally attending to Jesus. Because with Jesus, you cannot trust a subordinate. But I really think it was not Satan who attacked you yesterday. It was a junior evil spirit. All right? So Satan is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere all the time. Okay? You understand that? And it's important to realize that God has given us resources to defeat the devil. Once the devil had some power, but all the power he has been stripped from him at the cross. The Bible uses the word, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Who destroyed the devil's power? Jesus. Who defanged the devil's a thief? The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion. He got no teeth. All right? That's why he roared to frighten you. And some Christians are so full of fear that they will just gum them to death. Just gum them to death. Come here. They are so full of fear. So the devil has been defanged. Now, if you enter spiritual warfare trying to win a battle that has already been won is a form of self-righteousness. You must actually enter the warfare enforcing the victory already accomplished by Christ. It's very important how you approach warfare. There are Christians who are trying to defeat the devil in their life, thinking that, well, you know, God has given it to me to defeat the devil. And they enjoy that kind of, a form of pride. The devil has been defeated. God does not need you to defeat the devil. Who defeated the devil? Jesus did. And gave you the victory. Your part is to enforce the victory. And that's why in this passage, you find the word stand 4 times. Right? Verse 11, that you may be able to stand. Verse 13, that you may be able to withstand. Last part, having done all, to stand. Verse 14, stand. 4 times the Holy Spirit says stand, stand, stand. So when you do it God's way, you'll be left standing. You know what standing or not? You ever watch cowboy movies? You know, the two guys standing at the street opposite ends. Then, all right, both of them draw at the same time, right? And they are shots fired. You do not know who got killed. Then one of them drop. The other guy left standing. That guy is standing. That guy is the victor. If you do it God's way, you are left standing. God wants you to be left standing. He mentioned stand 4 times. Stand also means you don't have to fight. You stand. Stand means you already got it. The victory is yours. Who gave you the victory? Jesus. Now watch this. All right. Let's suppose this whole platform here is everything that you want in Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 1, we already have everything in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So the devil's number one tactic always is to make you think you don't have what you already have. For example, you're believing God for financial blessings in your life. You need to pay off your house, you pay off your car, pay off something. All right? And you look at your available balance. Very pathetic. But God promises what? What did God say? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter if you get retrenched. God supplies according to His riches in glory. There'll be a better job. Amen. Better pay. Because you know what? No man on earth is your source of supply. They'll make you too poor. God is your source of supply. So let's say the devil can attack you by saying, all right, you don't have this. You don't have financial supply. You must call his bluff. You must say, I'm not trying to be rich. I am rich. In Christ, I am rich. It does not matter how much you have in the bank. You are rich because you are in Christ. And as the need arises, the supply will be there. If you believe you are rich. Same thing for healing. The devil will try to attack you with symptoms in your body. He'll try to put pain in your body, make you feel weakness here and there, make you feel lousy in certain areas of your body, make you feel tired or whatever, and make you think you're coming down with sickness. You must call his bluff there and there. He's trying to make you think you don't have your healing. You say, no, I'm not trying to get my healing, devil. I am healed. I'm now in this ground. I'm on victorious ground Jesus gave me. I am the healed, and you're trying to take my healing. Do you understand? It makes a world of difference when you fight from victory, the way God wants you to, as opposed to fighting for victory. If you think you're not healed, and you think that I must persuade God to heal me, oh God, please heal me, you actually fall from your high ground, and you play right into the hands of the devil. And all the while, he wants you to think you don't have what God has given you. So you must call his bluff. You must say, I have it. Then he'll say, if you have it, then how come you have this pain and that pain? All right? Then you must say, in Christ, I have it, devil. These are just temporal. These are lies. I'm not trying to be healed. I am the healed. Amen. And those symptoms will go away in Jesus' mighty name. But if you fall for his stripe and you say, well, you know what? I guess I'm not healed. I feel the pain and all that. Oh, God, please heal me. You just sacrifice your high ground because now you're fighting for victory instead of fighting from victory. How many know what's the difference? All right? And the key is the armor of God. It says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Say armor of God, church, out loud. Armor of God. Thank God they are smart. We got a guy in the army days. All right? And you know, when you learn grenade throwing, I guess this guy is not English educated or whatever. So he was told, when you throw the grenade, the officer says, you must shout, grenade! Loud, loud. Understand? Not? So this guy threw the grenade. Grenade! Loud, loud! You know? So I'm so glad when you said, say armor of God out loud. No one say, armor of God out loud. You know, you all had it right. Praise God. I was kind of concerned. Grenade! Loud, loud! The enemy died laughing. Look at this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, you know what's wiles? Deception. If the devil, like I said, if he's so powerful, he don't have to deceive you. Many times he deceives you to use your own power against you. All right, there's the master deceiver. You know, the devil always make you think that you don't have something when actually God has given you everything. Amen? Actually, all that you want, you already got. But the devil, like Adam and Eve, you know, God gave them everything. The devil pointed them to one tree that God says don't eat from. It makes him feel, makes the person feel as if, you know, like guys, for example, you can be married to one of the best girls in town. All right? And devil can still make you think you don't have all that you really need. Amen? You can be living in a nice place and devil thinks you need something better. You know, all this is the devil's, you know, he always comes with what? Making you think you don't have what God has given you. Amen? It reminds me of a story of a guy who walked into a village one time, one evening. He was hungry. He went to this village and he went to the head of the village. It's a small village. He told the chief, you know what? I have a magic stone that can make everything that you put this magic stone in your food, it becomes perfect, becomes delicious. And of course, the chief was very, very excited. Really? He says, yeah. He said, can I have this stone? You know what? Normally, I don't let people use my stone. But in your case, okay, I'll let you have it. All right, but first, you must follow my instructions. Then he gave the ingredients for all the food. Take this meat, that meat, rabbit meat and all that, and take all these spices, put them together, cut off this, cut spring onions and carrots and all that, put them in this big pot. And then, finally, throw my stone in it. And true enough, at the end, the chief tasted, he said, my goodness, this is delicious. So, if the guys all ate, and the chief family ate, everybody ate, and they were full. All right. At the end, the chief said, excuse me, sir, can I please have this stone? And the guy says, sir, with all due respect, it's good enough I give you the stone to use for your food. Now you want me to give you the stone. Can I buy it from you? Because you know what? I kind of like you, chief. I'll sell it to you. Not only he got free food, now he got money for his stone. All right? Then he left the village the next morning. All right? Towards the evening, the next day, he entered another village. But before he entered the village, he saw by the roadside another stone. How many got the story? Come on. All right? All the while, the food came from the village. The guy just know how to cook. Amen? The devil does the same thing with you. Actually, all the power is already in your life. Amen? He thinks, he makes you think that you need this thing when the thing is nothing. Can I have a good amen? The wiles of the devil. He's very wily. Amen? Don't look at your neighbor. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there's a hierarchy in the powers of darkness. There is a level, different levels. Okay, there is a chief demon, and then there is a gangster boss of the devil, you know, and his gangsters, his underlings and all that. It's like that in the kingdom of darkness, okay? But we're not to worry. God has given us armor to protect ourselves from all of them. Amen? And notice the first phrase, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers of darkness. Believers, wake up and realize your battle is not against your boss. Your boss may pick on you all the time. For some reason, you do everything right. You know, you go extra mile, you do overtime. Your boss still don't like you, for example. If that's a case, all right? If that's a case, usually it's supernatural. His dislike for you is supernatural. So what do you do? Don't hate him, love him, forgive him. Attack the devil in the name of Jesus. I've been in a situation whereby I've seen couples quarreling. And from my corner, what I do is this. I say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit that's causing this strife. And you know, after for a while, the couple sort of make up. They talk nicely to one another. I did this once in Newton Circus when I saw a husband slap the wife. No joke. And from my corner, I said, in the name of Jesus, I said something demonic. I bound that demon. And after for a while, I sort of saw them make up. Amen. I'm telling you, there are powers. For example, you're still, you know, the same person, the same colleague gives you trouble. All right? Your battle is not flesh and blood. Your battle is the power behind that person. Can I have a good amen? You know, some years ago, there were some poison emails going around about our church and myself, you know. And what the Lord showed me was this, real quick. The devil is trying to stop my ministry and the effectiveness of the church from impacting more lives because we were actually impacting many people's lives already by the grace of God. So the devil tried to stop. Now, again, if I see those people, in fact, I got to know one of them who wrote it, but my heart is not filled with bitterness towards them. You know why? Because my battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers behind them. So I must love those people who wrote. I must forgive them and come against the devil behind them. All right? Don't see people as your problem. Your problem is not flesh and blood. You know, the Bible says about the prince, the story of Daniel. Daniel was praying, and then the answer wasn't forthcoming. He prayed for a number of days. The answer didn't come. Until 21 days after he prayed, then the answer came. And angel Gabriel told him, the very first day, Daniel, you prayed, God heard, and God sent me. But halfway, the prince of Persia, a power in the air over Persia, the real power is a demonic force. So how many understand? The answer is in prayer. If Christians will bind that power of darkness, it will stay. It will not be able to operate. And then angel Gabriel says, but God sent Michael to defeat that prince. And then I came through with the answer. Amen? Do you understand, church? There is a warfare going on. All right? Praise be to God. We can overcome the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. Next verse. By the way, don't forget the armor of God. That's the key. Here it says in verse 13 again, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Again, say armor of God. Loud, loud. You missed it this time. Armor of God. What is the armor of God? God's armor. The Bible says, take up the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God has put on his armor. Now, God has an armor that Jesus wore when he walked on earth. Obviously, he left the armor behind. And we can put on the armor of God. When you put on the armor of God, the devil does not know who is inside the armor. All he knows is that that was the armor that defeated him 2,000 years ago. You look exactly like Jesus in the armor. You might be a weakling. In fact, you might be full of bones when you move around like Anklong. All right? But inside the armor, the devil sees you strong. In fact, the armor is like Batman's armor. It has these 6 blocks, like you see me have. Pastor Daniel also had, but he's all relaxed, man. You know the Batman movie series? They had different actors playing Batman. All the stars that acted Batman, once they are in that mask, they all look the same. And you know that suit has the 6-pack. It makes you really look tall and big. Now, guess what? When you are in the armor of God, the devil doesn't know how weak you are. Amen. He doesn't know how afraid you are. All he knows is that you look like Jesus. Amen. Now, we're about to learn how to put on the armor of God. And the reason is that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, notice to withstand in the evil day. Say evil day. I shared before that the normal Christian life, the Bible says you can see good days, plural. Here it says evil day, singular. What a joy for us to know this truth. That for the Christian, an evil day is temporal. All right? But good days are plentiful. The normal Christian life is that many good days and an evil day. A day of trouble, a day of attack. Then good days and an evil day. Now, evil day doesn't mean only 24 hours. It may last longer than 24 hours, but it's only for a season. In fact, the Bible uses the word for our testings and trials and our troubles for a season, for a little while. Look at your right-hand neighbor and your left-hand, say, for a season, for a little while. Yeah, I got you moving left and right, praise God. All right, for a season, for a little while. For a season, for a little. These are the words from the Bible, 1 Peter and in the epistles, for a season. Our testing is only for a season. Praise be to God, God has put a time limit on the devil. The devil cannot infinitely go on attacking you. There is a time limit. I don't care what the attack is, whether it's physical, financial, whatever the trouble is, there is a time limit. It's only for a season. It's a little while. Now, again, the evil day doesn't mean 24-hour day. It may last for 1 week. It may last for 2 weeks. It may last for 1 month. But you know what? There are many good days to come. Amen. There is a season. Praise be to God, winter is not forever. I know we don't have 4 seasons here, but winter, those have 4 seasons, it's not forever. Amen? What comes after winter? Spring. And the birds start singing again. Smile, lift up your heads. Your spring is coming. Amen. All right, God is teaching us even from His own seasons. All right, season is not forever. So, again, it's only for a season. All right? Evil day. And God wants, now, again, please don't think that if you are a better Christian, you're an older Christian, you're a much more spiritual Christian, you won't have the attacks from the devil. Wrong. In fact, everybody have seasons of attack. In fact, the more you grow in the Lord, the more you will see attacks. Amen. Because the devil is afraid that you are making more and more inroads into the things of God. You're manifesting more and more the blessings, and you're making more impact on people's lives. New levels, new devils. All right. So understand this, but don't forget there'll be new victories as well. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you don't want to progress, you'll never receive some things you could otherwise have. Amen. And impact lives you otherwise could not. So don't be afraid of progress. Be more conscious of God's victory than the devil's attacks. All right. Now, again, God wants you to remain standing in the evil day. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Stand therefore. You see the number of times the word stand is used? Stand therefore. It's amazing. Some Christians emphasize the word wrestle. The word wrestle only appears one time. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But the word stand appears four times. And yet there's some Christians, they're wrestling all the time. I'm wrestling against the devil. I'm wrestling against the devil. I think they watch WrestleMania too much. Now, the word wrestle appears only one time because during Paul's time, one of the favorite pastimes the Romans had was wrestling. Okay? So the wrestle means what? To try to push you from your stand. You're standing on healing ground, blessing ground, prosperity ground. The devil is trying to push you away from the ground. And your part is just to believe you're on that ground. Amen? But notice, the word stand is used four times, not the word wrestle. Let's go on. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now all the armor pieces are being brought forth. Notice all the armor pieces, look up here. How many of you have been taught the same thing I was taught some years ago? You know, there's a teaching that says every morning you wake up and you click on the armor of God. How many were taught that? That was a teaching. I'm serious. Wake up in the morning, click on your helmet. Wow, I felt like Batman, you know. How many of you thought that? Oh, you felt like Rambo tying the bandana. Now, like, really, by a show of hands, how many have heard that before, that teaching? Click on your armor. And all the while, you know, God is not talking about clicking on your... You know, you can put on all this armor and yet forget what those pieces mean. You look carefully, each of those pieces is a teaching. Your helmet is the hope of salvation. Your breastplate is a teaching of righteousness. How strong you are in that teaching, how established you are, is how strong your breastplate is. But instead of focusing on the teaching, we focus on the pieces of click, click, click. And you know what? You can have all the breastplate and still be condemned. When actually righteousness will protect your heart from condemnation. So it's not a matter of clicking on. And boy, did I click on every day. I felt naked if I didn't click on. So let's look at the first piece of armor. It says, your waist girded with truth. Say truth. So truth is your belt. Right? Now, why is your belt important? Now, by the way, all these Roman pictures that Paul uses is because of his day. During Paul's time, the Roman soldier is the one that is right before his eyes. Right? The Roman soldier. How many of you have seen a Roman soldier? Whether it's classic movies, epic movies like Ben-Hur and things like that. You see a Roman soldier, isn't it? They have breastplate of righteousness, right? Oh, no, not each other. Just breastplate. I remember watching Ben-Hur, and I saw this guy who became the father of Judah Ben-Hur. You know that man, Roman guy? You know, he had this breastplate. And boy, did he look good when he had the helmet on, the breastplate on. He should never have taken it off. Because when he took it off, remember, his pouch came sliding out. And boy, did he look old. But as long as the breastplate was on, the helmet was on, boy, he looked cool. I mean, he looked like he's got a V-shape, you know. Now, that's the armor pieces. But you'd be surprised to see that Paul was very advanced. This picture here is not just a picture of ancient warfare of the Roman soldier. It's also a modern warfare, which you're about to see in a while's time. All right, but the first piece is your belt. Your belt holds your scabbard for your sword, holds your small daggers. Another thing is this. It's very hard to fight if your trousers is loose. The enemy say, can tighten first now. Very distracting. We used to have a hero, I don't even still remember. Years ago, they have a hero called Sinbad, who tightened his belt and became a hero, you know? What a name for a hero, Sinbad. Put them together, you get Sinbad. Anyway, your belt in the Bible is what? Truth. How much truth you have will hold the armor of God together, will hold your pants together. And truth is the first thing mentioned here. The first piece of armor is truth. Now look up here. Every single one of you whose lives have been changed since you came to New Creation Church is because you receive the truth. Whatever areas that you are battling with, that you are in bondage, and now you are set free, and there are more areas to be set free, okay? But whatever areas that you were in bondage before, now you're no more in bondage. How come you are freed from that area? You receive the truth. Pastor Prince did not make you free. Jesus made you free by giving you what? The truth. The more truths you receive, the freer you become. In fact, why were you in bondage before? Why were you depressed, bound by depression, oppression, full of fear in a certain area last time? Now you look back at the area, I'm no more afraid. What happened? Truth came in. When truth came in, you were set free. In the words of Jesus, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, I used to play a pushing out, you know, not huge boulders, but slightly small rocks. I like to lift them up to see whether I'm strong enough to lift them up. You know, and finally, if I manage to lift up a rock, I remember some cases, two in particular, I lift up a rock and there was a small scorpion underneath the rock. There was another time I lift up a rock, it was damp, you know, ground underneath the rock, and there were white ants scurrying in all directions the moment the light came in. Now, as a young boy, when I see this kind of creature, I'll run off. But you know, as little boys are, you're very curious, you'll come back again. Maybe 1 hour later, I'll come back again, or half an hour later. When I come back, I take a look. All the white ants are gone. Where did they go? I don't care. They left that place because the light shone in. As long as kept under darkness, it thrived. The moment the light came in, it ran off. If I can put a spotlight on your head right now, spiritual x-ray, there are areas that is bright because the light of God's word has come in. But there are areas that is dark. And that's why you are fearful in those areas. That's why you are full of worry in those areas. That area has not been saturated with God's truth yet. The moment God's truth comes in, like for example, you used to be worried about being condemned in God's presence. Maybe that area is no more because the truth of grace has come in. And now that fear is no more. The light has come in, right? But there are still areas of darkness. Let me just tell you this. Your pastor prays this prayer almost every day. Father, unveil to me truths that you see I need to know that will set me free. All right, because there are still areas of bondage in my life. Now, I submit to you this. When I look back at my life, there are some areas in my life I'm set free from. In fact, the devil is stupid to attack some areas that I'm already more or less receive plentiful truths in those areas. I'm more or less established in those areas. But you know what? As I look forward in my life, there are some areas that is still dark. I don't have the truth. And how do I know? Because whenever you have a fear or a worry in that area, that means the light has not come in. Okay? So be humble. If your pastor got to pray this prayer, I think all of us have areas of darkness. It's best to ask God, God, there are still areas I'm still dark in. Unveil your truth in those areas. Show me the truths I need to know. Because the truth will set you free. Amen? Now to God, truth and victory are synonymous. Again, truth and victory are synonymous. Let me show you from the Bible. Truth and victories, they are interchangeable. You know, there's this phrase from the Bible in Matthew, talking about our Lord Jesus. This is a quotation actually from Isaiah. But Matthew says, quoting from Isaiah, it says, a bruised reed shall Jesus not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Look at the last line. Judgment unto victory. Now look at the quotation, the actual quotation from Isaiah in the Old Testament. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. The Old Testament says truth. The New Testament says what? Victory. That means truth and victory are synonymous. The more truths you receive, the more victory will manifest. Amen. Now look at me. The more truths you receive, the more victory you'll walk in. Hallelujah. Can I have a good amen? Amen? Once you know the truth, the devil cannot fool you anymore. He can only thrive in darkness. As long as you are ignorant about something, you will be fearful. Amen. It's like, you know, you have a certain sickness in your body or whatever, a pain and all that. And you're not sure until finally you go to the doctor. The doctor says, you know what, there's nothing. It's very common. I've tested it and I found there's nothing. You know what? In a sense, you find the truth set you free, isn't it? From what? Worries, cares, concerns. All right, let me give you another illustration. Let's say there's a sister And she's standing down here where I am, okay? And right there, the door, exit door, right over there, her two friends are talking among themselves. And she noticed her friends talking, and the friends are looking at her as they are talking. And then they say, then the other one laughing. Then one of them did this. All right, all of a sudden, this lady down here, her mind becomes really suspicious. Right? You know how ladies are, right? So the friends are talking, and you know what? Immediately, she thinks they are speaking bad about her. Immediately. And that's the evil genius of the devil. The devil, you know, he will play mind games with you. Like these two brothers down here, all right? He can look at her, excuse me. Didn't mean to emasculate you. He can look at him, all right? And he can look at him also. You know what? The devil comes to him and say, you know what? He just gave you a dirty look. He doesn't like you. And he go down here and say the same thing. He's about to give you a dirty look. Doesn't like you. So the moment he look at him and look at him, guess what? When actually there's nothing there in the first place. He plays mind games. He can come to a husband and say, see, your wife is taking advantage of you. She don't respect you anymore. When all the while, the wife doesn't even think like this. You know, the devil play mind games. You got to watch it. All right? So this lady look at her friends and she notice, all right? Her good friends. These are her good friends, you know? Yeah, okay. Talk bad about me. Never mind. And next day, one of them called her. Hey, hello, Irene. Tomorrow, shall we go down to this really happening place in Orchard Road? You know, Eileen. Eileen is the other one that she talked to. I would like to bring you, me and Eileen would like to bring you there. I don't think so. I'm quite busy nowadays. All right? Can you sense the tone? Come on, you all must know ladies. Come on. You sense the tone, not? And then, next one. Hey, is everything okay with you? The friend asks. Yes. Then the friend asks, is anything wrong? Nothing. Whenever you hear that kind of nothing, trust me, almost everything is happening. When your wife says, darling, something wrong? Huh? Nothing. In that kind of tone, brother, don't be, duh, okay, nothing. All right, trust me. You will save yourself a lot of trouble, all right? Know there's something, all right? Amen. So anyway, the friend finally said, look, you know, we'd like for you to come. We insist you come. Okay, all right, I'll go. And next day, you know, she went. And lo and behold, the moment she stepped into the restaurant, they shouted, surprise! Happy birthday, Irene! And all the, you know, the ribbons flying, the balloons and all that. And the two friends are right in the middle shouting, hey, happy birthday! And one of them came. You know what? That day, we were in church, right? We were discussing about your birthday party, you know. And we saw you looking at us. We were so scared that we gave ourselves away. In fact, I think you suspected, right, something that we actually preparing your birthday party. Oh, yeah, I suspected you're preparing my birthday party. It's amazing. We can spend days being angry, being concerned, being full of self-pity based on a lie. And if the truth was not known earlier, you can spend weeks in fear, worry, self-pity, just based on a lie. Amen. So what should Irene do the moment she saw that kind of thing? We'll teach you afterwards. This is part of spiritual warfare. It's got to do with the helmet of salvation. She didn't have a helmet on. All right? But keep on reading. So you got to have the truth. Amen. Say, my belt is on.
My belt is on.
All right? Make sure your belt is on or else, you know, very hard to fight. One hand holding, one hand fighting. Okay? Next one, praise the Lord. By the way, do you know this morning I had a nightmare? Does that encourage you to know that Pastor Prince has a nightmare? All right, of course, what do you think? You know, warfare goes on sometimes even when you're sleeping. Thank God, not all the time. But there are times, you know, the devil doesn't go on a break just because you are sleeping. You know, the devil doesn't say, oh, you're sleeping, I'm so very tired. Tomorrow we fight, okay? Good night. You know, he pull up his blanket. No, he doesn't do that, does he? Amen? He doesn't do that, right? There are times he attacks you at night. I mean, you wake up, you know, with pain or you wake up with some fear or some bad dream, right? So, I mean, I woke up with a bad dream. You know what my bad dream? I dreamt I was in BMT. Basic military training. And I was late for my first day. And the sergeant was standing down there. And I went on there, I said, something is wrong here. How come I'm going to BMT again? And the sergeant is shouting all kinds of, you know, all kinds of words, you know. You know, that kind of thing. Say, you're late, you know, you're late. I look at him, I said, this is not supposed to be happening. And then he says, now listen, you are mocked. Not only that, for the next 3 months, I'm mocked. And I said, something is wrong. In my dream, I was saying, can I still run? Can I still do chin-ups? It was like really horrible, you know. Guess what? When I woke up, the truth set me free. Hallelujah. I said, wake up, man. It's time for church. Hallelujah. Boy, what a relief. Amen. You have these kind of dreams, not? Oh, no one wants to see. Look at this. Next piece. Are you all learning, church?
Yes.
Truth is synonymous with victory. Next. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate of righteousness is mentioned as righteousness. Okay, your breastplate is righteousness. Now, I can camp down here because this is my favorite topic, righteousness of God. All right, but because I've preached literally, I've preached hundreds of sermons down to the past years on righteousness alone. You can avail yourself of those tapes. I won't be camping on this verse, but this is my favorite teaching on righteousness. First and foremost, what is the breastplate used for in the Roman army, for the Roman soldier? To protect your heart. How many know you get cut in your leg, you still can survive? All right? You get stabbed in your heart. Chances are it's fatal. Now notice, when the devil attacks you, he wants to shut down your faith. What does he do? He attacks your heart, your spiritual heart. The Bible says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. All right? So he comes and attacks your heart with what? Accusations. All right? He'll tell you things like, call yourself a Christian. All right? You're such a hypocrite. You're such a lousy Christian. You're such a backslidden Christian. You haven't done this enough. Haven't done that enough. You haven't fasted enough. Haven't prayed enough. Haven't read the Bible enough. Haven't done this enough. Or he'll say, you did that wrong. Last week you did that wrong. Yesterday you did that wrong. Remember when you did that wrong. It's always something you have done or you have not done. And your victory lies in this. You must know what the righteousness of God is. It's not based on what you have done right or what you have done wrong. Righteousness today for you and I, being right with God, is a gift. The same apostle that wrote these verses tell us in the book of Romans, righteousness is a gift. In fact, in the book of Daniel, it says, Jesus brought in everlasting righteousness. That means you cannot lose this righteousness. Let's say you wake up in the morning. There are times you feel very moody. All right, you go into your car. All right, and you lose your temper on the road. And you did some things on the road, like trying to cut a guy off and all that you shouldn't have done as a believer. All right, but you lost your cool. And then the devil come and condemn you, right? Now, are you righteous then? Some of you are still not sure. Are you righteous then? You know what? You're still righteous because you have a breastplate on you that's not given to you because of what you have done. It's a gift from Jesus. And the more you rise your righteousness, the more you can defeat that bad temper. The more you can defeat that moodiness. If you know it's a gift, you have not lost that right standing with God. But believe it or not, I read a Christian book on warfare, and I was quite intrigued by what they say about righteousness. And this particular person says, that's why we got to learn to conduct our affairs in all righteousness. Now again, is that a gift or is that what you do? It's what you do. The person has missed it. You know what? In fact, that one is not a breastplate. He has just removed the breastplate. Because if this righteousness depends on what you do, all the devil got to do is to point on something, all right, that you do, and the whole thing becomes untangled. The moment the devil says, yeah, you do all these things right, but there is this area he's got you. All right, this righteousness is not what you do. It is what Christ has done. And God gives it to you as a gift. And God says to you, even when you fail, you are still seen as righteous. That's the only kind of righteousness that will carry us through. Now, when you know you have failed and you are still right with God, does it make you want to sin more? No, in fact, you love God more. Once you awake to righteousness as a gift, the Bible says you will sin not. Amen? So I got a lot of teachings on righteousness. I don't want to spend too much time here, but just let you know that righteousness will protect your heart. Amen? From the accusations of the enemy. The next piece of the armor. Are you all learning, church? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, church, whenever many of you are like this. You're just like me. You got a chance, you will share the grace or the gospel of peace with your colleague, your friend, your relative, right? Your feet is always ready to bring good news to people. All right, that's why your feet is beautiful. And that's the gospel of peace shoes. See my feet? Praise God. Amen. God says the shoes that you have, But for the soldier, those of you in the army, you know, your boots are very important. In fact, maintaining your feet is very important during warfare or even during a long road march. Yes, because your feet can actually destroy your whole being, your whole moral being, all right, if you don't watch it. So you wear boots so you can crush scorpions, snakes, and cockroaches. Amen. Amen. So what's it called? The shoes, gospel of peace. That means you must always be ready to share it with people. And I know all of you have that spirit. Given a chance, even have a chance, you will share grace with someone. Amen. Next verse. It says here, above all. Now, once you see above all, that means it's of paramount importance. Of all the pieces, this is very important. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice, take the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now look up here. You know what? The devil throws fiery darts, which goes to show the devil does not have all the power. He must give you some thoughts for you to accept, then he can have inroads in your life. Just like the sister over here, standing down here looking at her friends over there, discussing. What did the devil do? He throws thoughts in her mind. You see, they're talking bad about you. All right? And she accepted those fiery darts. Then the devil is able to bring self-pity, condemnation, feeling rejected, feeling betrayed, feeling unloved. Got it? You must accept the lying thought first. Do you understand? A symptom comes to your body. The devil throw a thought. All right? It is this disease. It's that disease. Remember your grandfather died of this disease? Remember your cousin died of this disease? All right? It's that disease. Don't accept it. I'm going to show you in a while's time how to defeat it. But the most important thing is this. The Bible says the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So your part is don't have to worry where the fiery darts are coming from. North, south, east, west. You don't have to worry where it's coming from. You don't care how much is being thrown at you. You just have to maintain your shield of faith. And it will quench all. It will quench all. Amen. Your question is this. Am I now in faith? Am I now in faith? And as long as you know you are in faith, don't worry where the darts are coming. It will be quenched. Amen. Like I said just now, Paul is way beyond his time. He's using imagery here that I see in terms of modern warfare as well. How many saw the movie Star Wars? You know that spaceship has an invisible shield around it. So when its opponents came and shot missiles, the missiles just bounced off. Because that spaceship has an invisible shield. In other words, in fact, they discussed among themselves how to break that shield around the spaceship. And the only way is from within. In other words, if you throw away your faith, you stop believing, then there's no more shield. That's when all the fiery darts hit you. You don't have to worry how many thousands of fiery darts there are. Amen. Your part is to know, is your shield of faith up? If your shield of faith is up, all right? Now think science now, come on. All right? If a shield of faith is up, I don't care which direction it's coming from, it will quench all. Say all. But some Christians, they bring up the shield of doubt and quench all the blessings of God. Amen? Shield of faith. Now, in a while's time, I'm going to show you again how to bring up the shield of faith. All right? I like to come to the last part because of the practical application. Now, look at this. Hallelujah. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation. Now your helmet is called salvation. Now to be more exact, in the words of the Apostle Peter, in 1 Thessalonians, again he says, let us while the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Now look up here. Salvation, by the way, in the Bible, is not always safe from hell. All right, that's the beginning. Salvation is preservation, wholeness, health, prosperity. That's the word salvation, all right, in the Greek. Now, what is hope? Hope in the Bible is positive or confident expectation of good. Bible hope is not like your colleagues use the word, you know, I really hope I don't get retrenched. I really hope, I hope so, I hope so, I hope not, I hope not, I hope so. You know, that kind of hope is like not sure. In fact, many a times, the opposite happens. But Bible hope is when you have Bible hope, always good will happen. So when God says, have hope, what God means is this, all right? Have a confident expectation, good will happen. Like this coming week, for example, all right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday onwards. What do you know about this coming week? You know nothing about this coming week. But one thing God wants you to have, this attitude. Put on the helmet of salvation by doing this. Have a confident expectation. Good will happen this week. It's going to be a good week. Now, when you have this attitude, you are putting on helmet. Some people go to war, all right, without their helmet on. And soldiers will tell you, you know, many of them are safe because they have their helmet on. And when I was young, I don't understand why they carry all these helmets, you know. It seems like such a burden. But then, when you understand how a helmet can save your head, right? See, this girl over here, she didn't have a helmet on. You know why? The moment she saw the friends talking, she expected the worst. The helmet is what? Expect the best. Expect the good things. Expect good things to happen. Amen. Always expect good things to happen. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Expect good things to happen. When SARS is going around, all right? Don't let the devil let you receive this thought. You're probably next. No, expect good things to happen. All right? Which means I'll be protected. And you can only do so if you are spending time in the Word of God. You're more conscious of God's Word than anything else. Which brings us to the final thing. All right? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. By the way, I just want to say again about the helmet. I feel the Holy Spirit is just bringing home that one. Again, church, look up here. When you expect bad things will happen. You know that? Expect good things will happen. You know, like you see people discussing, oh, they're discussing my blessing. All right? When the phone rings, most people, if they tell you the truth, all right? When the phone rings at odd times, they'll say bad news. They won't say, I wonder what good news it is that people can't wait until morning to tell me. Most people don't think like that. The boss wants to see you. Oh, bad news. How do you know it's not a promotion? All right? So again, I'll tell you this. People's minds are more inclined towards the negative. That means their head is naked. Put your helmet on! Amen? Expect good to happen. Well, you know, Pastor Prince, you never know what to expect. You can expect good. You're a child of the living God. God loves you. Amen. There's a Savior watching over you. Angels have gone before you. There are more angels than there are demons against us. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Amen. Amen. Yes. You have every excuse to win. Amen. 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 Yes. All right. And take the sword of the Spirit. Now we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now I just want to touch on the last part. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Now, if you're going through an evil day, an evil season, my encouragement is this. Learn to pray in the Spirit a lot. All right? Wake up in the morning. Drive your car. On your way to work, MRT. Under your breath. Amen? Especially when you're going through a tough time, learn to pray in tongues. You know why? Pray in tongues will recharge your batteries. Pray in tongues will keep you flowing with God. Pray in tongues will help you emotionally also. In fact, the Bible says this is the rest and refreshing. It will cause your blood pressure to come down. It's been proven with electrodes in the scientific laboratory. When people speak in tongues, they see the electrodes. It causes your blood pressure to go down. It causes your immune system to be boosted. Amen. And the Bible calls this the rest and the refreshing. All right? The reason I'm showing this first before the sword of the Spirit is because I want to end the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. All right? Now let's look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you know that this is the only weapon that is offensive? Right? Of all the armor. Look up here. Your helmet is defensive. It protects your head. Right? Your breastplate protects your heart. Okay? Your shoes protect your feet. Your shield protects your whole being. Your sword is the only offensive weapon you have. What is our offensive weapon? The sword of the Spirit. Now, the Bible says, I'm going to show you another modern insight that Paul has. You know, the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, which I believe is written by him. The Apostle Paul says the sword of the Spirit, the sword of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we say the Word of God is a two-edged sword. Actually, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. A two-edged sword cuts what? Both ways. Okay? Sharper than any two-edged sword doesn't exist. There is no sword sharper than any two-edged sword during Paul's time, during the Roman time. But today it exists. You know what is it called? Laser. Laser cuts everywhere. Even you in the center also, it cut. Any direction, it will cut you. Amen? So actually, it is a sword. That's the, I'm serious. That's the picture that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. I can cut the devil's hands, his head, and all that. Hallelujah. And the sword is the word of God. Now I'm going to bring this to a close. Listen carefully. This is the most important part that makes everything happen. All right. The sword is the word of God, it says. Now, how did Jesus use the sword? By saying to the devil, when he was attacked by the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. That means he knew what the Bible teaches. He has memorized scriptures. And when the devil came against him, he can say, it is written. Now, charismatics are famous for saying, you know, this morning God said to me, just now God said to me. Jesus didn't even say, just now my father said to me. He said what the Bible says. It is written. You know, he had good reason to say what his father said. His father just said to him at the River Jordan, you are my beloved son. But he didn't even resort to that. He resorted to the Bible to fight the devil. He didn't even resort to the spoken word of God. He resorted to the written word of God. He says, it is written, not it is spoken. 3 times. Now, if the Son of God has to say it is written to defeat the devil, how much more you and I? Amen. I say amen. Amen. How does it apply, Pastor Prince? I'm going to teach you how. And this is the most important part. All right? If any part you fall asleep, don't fall asleep here. You know, this is the part the devil wants you to fall asleep or miss it or be distracted. Don't miss this part. Because listen carefully. By the way, you know Psalms 91 has tremendous promises. And some of you have let go of Psalms 91 because SARS has come to, it's abated in a sense. All right? Don't let go of Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is not just good for SARS, it's good for everything. All right, watch this, watch this. Let's say you memorize. I told you to memorize Psalms 91, right? If you can. All right, let's say, now, you wake up in the morning, all right, you open the papers and it says, one out of every 5 men by this age will have this disease. Then, pew, the devil threw an arrow. Shoom. All right, based on what you read. You never know when it comes. You'll be watching a show and this thing will come. That's the time you must say, it is written. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. The deadly disease, right? Surely he shall deliver you. You know what? You just remove that thing. You just put up a shield of faith. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Another scenario. You just came back from a funeral. All right? And it's a Christian person who just died. In fact, she's your friend. And she died of a disease. Same age as you. Now, it's a perfect scenario. When you walk out and you are alone. All right? Devil come and throw a thought. You know, she's such a spiritual Christian, such a nice Christian, such a wonderful Christian. Now, by the way, we all don't know what's the full story. There are Christians who want to go home. All right? One thing we do know, we know what God has promised us. We are responsible for our own life. But the devil come and put fear on this lady by putting a fiery dart. What's the fiery dart? If it can happen to her, it can happen to you. Now, fear has come in. What must she do? She must say, it is written, 1,000 may fall at my side. And 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Now, church, it's not enough to know it in your heart. You must say it out. That's when latent power becomes actual power. When you speak it out, it's not enough to know it. Jesus in the wilderness did not say, He said, it is written. He spoke it out. Hallelujah. Amen. You can memorize thousands of scriptures, but you don't learn to say it is written. Release the word. All right? There'll be no power. It's all latent power. It's all dormant power lying, sleeping inside. You must speak it out. When you speak it out, it's like God speaking. God's word in your mouth is like God speaking. Amen. Amen. I say amen. Oh, you wake up one day, you don't know why you get this kind of feeling. You know, you think about your parents, your grandparents, they all died young or whatever. And now the thought comes to you. Somehow it just plagued you, you know. Fears are unreasonable. But it still plagues you. Like a thought saying, you'll die young, you'll die young. Psalm 91 again. It is written. Say it out. It is written. With long life will I satisfy him. Hey man, once you say it is written, speak the word of God into your fear. You know something I found out? I found out you cannot reason away fear. You cannot analyze away fear. There are some fears that come in my life and I say, Joseph Prince, what are the chances of that happening? All right? You know what? Doesn't help. The fear is still there. Come on, Joseph Prince, it will never happen to you. You know what? The fear is still there. You cannot reason away fear. Hey, this fear is so stupid. But you know what? It's still there. The only way to defeat fear, listen, because we're in a warfare. The only way to defeat fear is to speak the word of God into the fear by saying, it is written, For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to memorize that. It's a powerful verse of scripture. Look up here, 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's all read together. 1, 2, 3. Say, it is written. For God has not, go on. One more, a conviction. It is written. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you feel the power there? One more time. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't care what kind of fear. Fear of growing old, fear of having that disease, fear of losing your job, fear of failure, whatever fear come against your way. Quote, it is written. Don't try to reason away. Come on, stop fearing. Come on. Or whistle. Does not help. This is a war. And you know, you cannot defeat the devil without using the same means Jesus used. It is written. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Pastor Prince, what if the fear come back? Say it again. It is written. For God has not given us a spirit of... What do you think you're Jesus on? One time in the offering. I'm sorry. But sometimes I got to say it a few times. Sometimes I got to say it. You know, in the morning I got to say it. In the afternoon I got to say it. In the evening. When the fear come back, I say it. If the devil wants to fight, give him one. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Give him the sword of the Spirit. And he will get the point every time. Amen. There's something about the sword of the Spirit. The devil doesn't hang around God's word too much. It reminds him of someone. Amen. There are many scriptures you can memorize. A Christian must not be lazy. You must write down scriptures that covers the area of your need. If you have financial problems, go to the Bible. Take a notebook. All right, and write down scriptures from the Bible about finances. But my God shall supply all your needs. Amen. And during the day, say, my God shall supply all my needs. My God shall supply all my needs. No one has a, you know, some people are so afraid. Whatever the boss tells them to do, they count out. They give in. Even wrong things also. You must live life in such a way you're confident. All right, honor your boss, yes. But you know what? Finally, you're not afraid of losing your job because you know God is your source. If you lose your job, there's a better job waiting. You must have this attitude where Pastor Prince, the statistics show, that's why you go back to statistics again. Instead of having a confident expectation of good, if you are sacked, you will have a better job. You have this attitude of, you know what? Pastor Prince, statistics show. Amen? The devil has you. You're not using the weapons of God. It is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You want a shorter one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Recently, I had a spiritual warfare in terms of jet lag, you know. The jet lag was, it's the first time I had jet lag, such a bad jet lag, lasted nearly a week. And Wendy and I, both of us, jet lag. So tired. And I could not sleep. So I had to memorize scriptures. And these are the scriptures that I memorized. Like Psalms. I'll both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I'll quote that before I sleep. Lord, you make me dwell only in safety. Amen? Another verse. Proverbs. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. So I quote that to myself. It is written, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Then I go like this. The more you are sleepy, you go like this. You're going to quote a last line. Right? Your sleep will be sweet. Your sleep will be sweet. Then, sweet. Sweet. You know what? I had one of the sweetest sleep ever. Amen? Don't practice it now. I'm just illustrating to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise the Lord. It's powerful, church. It's powerful. Amen. Whatever area of need you have, if you're concerned about your family, find scriptures on family life. That says, may you see your children's children. Amen? The seed of the righteous is delivered. Amen. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine, your children like olive plants. And say, Lord, it is written, my wife a fruitful vine, my children olive plants. Amen. 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 Use Bible words. It's powerful. It's pregnant with power because it came from the same source that created the heavens and the earth. The devil has no defense against the sword of the Spirit. It cuts him every way. Amen, church. One more time. For God. Come on. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you can't explain it. All right? You are not fighting. The word of God is fighting for you. Amen. What if the fear comes back? Say it again. Some people fear cancer. Some fear this disease. Some fear SARS. All right. You can't reason away the fear. You can't say, come on, grow up. Okay. You shouldn't be worried. You cannot do that kind of thing. This is a war. The only way to defeat is to speak God's word into the fear. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
The devil says, you'll die young. It is written, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Amen. Wake up in the morning. Sometimes you feel like it's going to be a bad day. All right, it's not from God. Say, it is written, this is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. So what you need to do is do some homework. Find verses. This Bible is full of powerful verses. All right? Don't forget, you can gather all these verses together, but the power comes when you quote them. All right? Find one that speaks to you. And write down, like you're afraid, write down verses like 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us spirit of fear. Memorize it. When the fear comes, quote it. Now, if you can't quote out loud, you cannot quote it under your breath. It's still as powerful. Okay? Sometimes, some situations, you cannot quote out loud. People give you plenty of room, you know, when you do that kind of thing. Feel the part. But sound mind, you know, they are wondering. You understand? Now, you got to do some homework. Just write down, you know, find a notebook somewhere. All right? Write down verses. I carry it with me. Some verses that speaks to me. Some verses don't speak to other people, but it speaks to you, keep it. You find that covers the area of your fear, keep it. Like you're afraid of your boss. All right, there's a verse, Hebrews 13. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man will do to me. When the fear comes, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man will do to me. The Lord is my helper, I'll not fear what man will do to me. Hey man, you cannot reason away fear. You can only speak God's word into the fear. And when you speak God's word, the shield of faith rises up. The devil is frustrated and you win. You'll be left standing. Amen. Hallelujah!
You've been listening to Pastor Joseph Prince, and we trust that you've been blessed. For more information on our messages, books, and videos, do visit our website at josephprince.com. Register today and receive a complimentary MP3 message. You'll also receive an exclusive Meditate and Believe Right daily email by Joseph Prince. Be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.
Eternal God supreme, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, eternal. Lord of lords, eternal God supreme, we praise you.
We worship you, Father. You alone are God. And there is none like you. There is none like you, O God.